Welcome to the Sustain UW podcast, a place for sustainability conversation, expert interviews, and news hosted by student interns from the UW-Madison Office of Sustainability. We want to know, what's up with sustainability and where should we go from here? Before we dive into today's episode, we want to remind you that the opinions expressed on this show do not reflect the views of the Office of Sustainability, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, or its Board of Regents. Now, let's get into today's show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sustain UW podcast. I'm your host, Kylie Shedler, and today I'm joined with Lorenza Sabel from Sustain Dane. Lorenza is the program manager running and developing the multitude of programs Sustain Dane has to offer. Welcome to the podcast, Lorenza. It's wonderful to have you here today. Do you mind giving a brief introduction?
Yeah, my name is Lorenza Sabel. I am the program manager at local nonprofit Sustain Dane.
So we were just talking before we started recording that you are actually a UW alum. So what did you major in?
I was in the business school for operations and technology management. And then I also had a certificate in sustainability. And I believe it was the first graduating year for that certificate. And that was back in 2016.
Okay, well, I've got the same certificate. So
nice.
Still going.
Cool.
So how was your experience at UW, and especially in the sustainability realm? I wanted to hear your opinion on it.
Yeah, I loved it. Oh my gosh. So in the business school, I actually started out as an accounting major. I was always great at math and just like kind of a numbers person. But then thinking about the career path, I wanted something a little bit more varied, something where I would be doing something different every day. And so then I started taking operations classes, and that's kind of how I fell into sustainability, because operations is like kind of like the sustainability concept of systems thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It applies to a lot of different things, but a good example is like manufacturing facilities. So you're looking at the whole facility and finding inefficiencies, thinking about different ways to manage it. And so through that, I kind of found a sustainability-related class. And and then I heard about the certificate, and the rest is history.
Very nice. So I'm personally going to be a senior, and I'm starting to get a little nervous about post-grad life. So mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could highlight a little bit on how you made the transition from undergrad to an actual career in sustainability.
Yeah. So when I was in school, I started volunteering at Sustain Dane. I think it was through a sustainability course. It was, I think it was Tom Eggert's course, actually. Someone from Sustain Dane, a previous staff person, came and gave a talk on what they did at that time. And it inspired me to volunteer. They were always looking for volunteers back then. And then I became an intern. I applied. They had an internship open for the assistant to the sustainable business associate. Her name was Stacey Reese. She then went on later to be the City of Madison sustainability coordinator for a few years. And so I was her assistant, and that was a job that was it turned into a paid position over time. And then I was hired full time later. So I just kind of stuck with it. I found something that I really loved, an organization I really loved, and a group of people that really were fun and easy to work with. And I was learning a lot in the position. And then, when Stacey moved on, I ended up moving into her position.
Mm-hmm. So you said you obviously stuck with it.
Yeah.
What made you stick around? Like, what is something that is the most fulfilling to you? Like, part
of
the job?
Oh, my gosh. So many things. It's really, really a special job. And I like to add, just before I get into why it's so good, that it's not a very common job. So when I'm talking to undergraduates about to graduate, I often say you can bring sustainability into any position. And you should. I really do think it's better to work on sustainability at, an existing organization in any type of position. So like sustainability specific jobs don't really exist. you know, where it's that's your only role and you're not like, I'm not related to any business. I talk to many of them in my job, but it's almost like consulting light. And yeah, it's rare. So there's not a lot of, yeah, sustainability program managers out there. But what makes it special for me is I think that if I had to pick one thing, it would be that I love the connection with other people. I get to talk with a lot of different leaders, local leaders in Madison and Dane County all the time, every day. And so I meet a lot of people really, really passionate about their work, passionate about sustainability, and I get to talk about it all the time.
So, doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, yeah. Really lucky to have fallen into this.
Yeah, it's always encouraging to talk to other people who are motivated in sustainability because it keeps you going. And that's great that you have that community there. So that's the most fulfilling part. But what would you say is the most challenging?
Oh, yeah. Challenging. Nonprofit work is challenging. And any change-making work, I think, is challenging. Change is hard for people. And not everybody is a big believer in sustainability. So you're often balancing various different competing goals. So sustainability might not always align, or like the more sustainable choice might not always align with the goals of an organization more broadly. So that's a little challenging, but overall, I think Dane County is a great place for this because we've got a lot of people that really believe in the concept. And so for the most part, it's very supportive. And then in the nonprofit world, I'd say a challenge is just lack of time and lack of funding, you know. So finding those funding sources through grants or through, we have a membership model, and that's part of our funding source. And we have small fees for some of our events for the public. So we've got like various ways we make money and, you know, pay our lovely staff.
Mm-hmm. Are there any accomplishments you want to brag about that you've had during your time at Sustain Dane?
That's a cute question. I love that. Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me was a few years ago in like 2017, the staff had a big changeover. So a lot of people had life events that they just made them move on from the job. Like there were a couple of babies that were had and people were starting families. So it turned into a very small staff of me and an interim executive director, and then the old executive director that was kind of stepping down. And then there was a search for a new executive director, and it was really just me and this new executive director. Her name is Claire Olechak. She's a rock star. She's a great boss, a great teammate. And so it was just me and Claire, and it was an opportunity, really, to kind of redesign Sustain Dane, because we've been around since 1999, and the programs have evolved a lot over the years. And, yeah, we got the opportunity to really build on the success of the past and make a suite of programs that were modern and accessible to Dane County.
Nice. So you said Sustain Dane started in 1999.
Yep.
Do you know how it got its start?
Yeah, it was a group of like neighbors, friends and neighbors that I was like 3 years old back then. They were passionate about sustainability. So one of them was from Sweden, and he brought this concept of the natural step back to Madison. And that's just one of the many sustainability frameworks. It's very science driven. And yeah, I would encourage anyone who's interested to read The Natural Step. It's a real short book, and it's a great way of thinking about making sustainable choices. And so they formed this group, and I think the UW did The Natural Step, and the city, it was very popular back then. And they started programs like just neighborhood programs where families that lived near each other would gather at one house and learn about a different subject every week. And for example, there'd be like a water week and they'd learn about their water softener and how to optimize it. And yeah, and then it grew from there. Various programs grew from there.
how has Sustain Dane evolved over time?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think sustainability is such a broad subject. So we've really evolved to try and encompass all aspects of sustainability into our programming. So not just the environment and environmental sustainability, but like the human side of it and also the business side of it. So we do have a membership and a program called Accelerate Sustainability Workshop, where businesses come and learn about sustainability concepts and get kind of hands-on leadership and change-making training for accomplishing a sustainability initiative at their org. So that's not necessarily something that existed in the beginning of Sustain Dane, and I'm super proud of it. And then also, equity has been a big subject that has grown in our programming. So all of our programs try to touch on, like, healthy people, social well-being, and an equitable society. So,
yeah. So the three pillars of sustainability is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, definitely.
We talk about that all the time at the Office of Sustainability. Nice. So very, very familiar with it. So you mentioned the Accelerate Sustainability Workshops. Could you highlight some of the other programs that you put on?
Yeah, so I like to talk about our programming in three buckets. So the workshop I just mentioned, I would say, is the first bucket, which is education. So we do education for businesses, organizations, and individuals. And there's too many to mention, probably, but some popular ones are our Recycle Better program that has had over 800 participants in 3 years. And we kind of calculate the ripple effect of they have to do a project in order to be certified as a recycling steward. And we calculated the impact of those projects to be over 60,000 folks reached with this recycling knowledge and low waste living knowledge. So that's a really rewarding program for sure. And that's in the education bucket. We also have a water program where we talk about water conservation and protection and various other education programs. And they change all the time depending on, you know, what we see our group interested in, our community, what people ask for, and then also like timely topics. So this past year we taught in partnership with the Latino Academy of Workforce Development, we taught a course on air quality.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that's a really hot topic right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because this summer, actually right when they graduated, it was one of those really poor air quality days. Very timely. That's how we kind of choose our subjects. So that's bucket number one, education.
Mm-hmm.
Bucket number two is energy efficiency and affordable housing. So we have a program called Efficiency Navigator run by my lovely coworker, Valora. And that's in partnership with a bunch of people. But one of the orgs is out of Chicago called Elevate. And what we do with that program is try to get efficiency measures. So like insulation and like efficient light bulbs, efficient appliances, fixtures into naturally occurring affordable housing across Dane County. So right now we're doing it in the north side of Madison and in Middleton. And basically we're working with the building owners to get those measures in. And that program not only is it great, you know, for the environment because energy efficiency obviously cuts down on emissions, but also it's great for resident comfort and it also saves them money on their electricity bills. So yeah, that's bucket number two.
Last one.
And the last one is school recycling and food waste measures. So we are working on and with a group of concerned parents that noticed that there was no recycling in school cafeterias. We're working with them to try and get recycling in those school cafeterias across Madison. And that involves, yeah, working with the schools, trying to figure out the easiest way to do it, working with the kids and, you know, like what fixtures, kind of like what bins you need. And they have also been doing waste audits for the past 2 years to kind of measure the different waste streams and also the food scraps.
Okay.
That, yeah, are disposed of in the cafeterias. And that's my coworker, Maggie, who's also our communications specialist. Mm-hmm. So she does our social media and stuff. So we're all very flexible within our roles. And yeah, and then the other aspect of that is food waste work. So we have food scraps drop-off sites at 2 City of Madison farmers markets this summer. And so residents can, for free, take their food scraps and drop them off at the Tuesday market in McPike Park and also the Tuesday market in on the south side of Madison.
Okay, yeah. So that's in the summer. Mm-hmm. Is there a place to drop off food scraps during the fall and winter?
Not yet.
Okay.
But that is part of the kind of goal of this program. So we're working with the city, and part of it is we're trying to gauge interest, mm-hmm. and also gauge like the viability of a drop-off program instead of a pickup program. And yeah, it's been, we've got record numbers week over week. It's, people are really, really interested in it. And I think when more and more people hear about it, more and more people drop off their food scraps. So mm-hmm. it's definitely a popular one. So hopefully eventually we'll be able to do it during the winter as well and in different locations, mm-hmm. and maybe even replicated for different cities. I think it doesn't have to just be Madison. Like, there's farmers markets in, you know, all the surrounding cities.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, I think it would really work well at.
Yeah, that'd be great for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And compost is a really big topic right now at mm-hmm. UW-Madison because I don't know if they had it when you were a student, but
they did.
Okay. So they had compost everywhere, and then they had to get rid of it because there were just some issues with where they were sending it. And then everyone was pretty upset about there not being any compost. So our waste coordinator at the Office of Sustainability, Travis, he's been working on a back-of-house compost system, and we send it to a agriculture research station. So what do you guys do with the food scraps that you drop off? Because I know that's a big issue is what you do with it.
Yeah. And it also depends on what you accept and mm-hmm. if what measures are there for contamination. Because I think the main reason that most programs end is because of contamination.
Yeah.
And that's true for a lot of waste streams. You know, there's mm-hmm. there's things banned from the landfill that end up there and, yeah, need to be removed, and that's contamination itself. Anyway, getting off the topic.
It was great, though.
But we send our scraps to Robert Pierce's Urban Farm. It's called Neighborhood Food Solutions. And, yeah, he's a great partner. He's been a really great partner on this. And that is just down in Fitchburg, I believe. So not too far. It doesn't have to travel too far. It's an urban farm. And that's why we say food scraps instead of compost program, because he does compost it, of course, but it's not an industrial compost site. So we really only accept our fruit and veggie scraps uncooked, not things like bread or meat. So it is a limited amount of things, but I'm always surprised how much I have at mm-hmm. the end of a week for fruit and veggie scraps, because there's a lot of parts of those things that, you know, you can't eat or maybe don't want to eat.
Well, it's good to know because, like I said, a lot of students want to do something with their food scraps, so I'll have to send them your way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I want to also jump back to the education bucket that you're talking mm-hmm. about. So also before we started recording, we were talking about the Sustainable Breakfast Series.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of a few students going to those.
Yeah, students are totally welcome. And the public, because most students aren't members, the public price is, I think, $15.
Mm-hmm.
But we would never turn someone away for not being able to pay. So shoot me an email, just lorenza@sustainday.org, and ask for a complimentary ticket. And, like, not only do you learn at these events, but also you can network with various businesses mm-hmm. in and organizations in Dane County that come to our program. So, yeah, great. I love seeing students there. So would highly encourage folks to come. And so the topics really vary. So we do 4 a year and then some supplementary lunch and learns. But these are morning events, and there's networking and some food, and then there's an expert in some topic. So, for example, today we had a UW professor, actually. His name's Claudio Gratton, and he talked about pollinators and bees and what's up with the bees and how to protect them and how to kind of participate in his research. And then earlier this year, we did a session on PFAS, and we had a whole panel of different speakers from various city organizations and statewide organizations that shared some really, really important information on health and safety and regarding our water and PFAS.
PFAS is another big topic right now. I'm seeing it everywhere in the news.
Yeah.
Do you have your favorite topic for the Sustainable Breakfast Series?
Oh, that's a great question. A favorite. Well, I always love when I learn something, mm-hmm. Which is frequent, because sustainability is broad. I'm not an expert in literally everything. I don't think I'd be able to.
That'd be impossible.
So I love when I learn, and I always learn something. And I also, I really like when we reach out to different communities. Like, it surprises me sometimes who ends up coming. So, for example, at the PFAS program, we had some folks, some fisher people, mm-hmm. people that fish in the Dane County area, and they just wanted to get their questions about the safety of eating fish and, the health impacts of that answered. And that's not a community that we're not always in contact with them. So mm-hmm. it's cool to meet those people.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Do you guys record and post these anywhere afterwards?
Yes, we do. So basically everything we do gets recorded. And like I said, we never try to make cost a barrier for folks. So by the end of the year, everything is up and free for everyone on our YouTube page, which you can access through our website. And then we also just launched a podcast of our own, actually.
No way.
Just this Tuesday. We have a new audio producer. His name is Jay Davis, and he's helped us kind of capture the stories of our programming and interview people and kind of boil that down into a fun, short podcast.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Are you going to be featured on that one someday?
Well, our first episode was like a Meet the Staff.
Okay.
Next one will be actually about one of our other programs that I haven't mentioned yet called All Around Dane County.
Okay.
So that program is, again, education, but it's like almost more of like community building. So we call it All Around Dane County because we often run our programs in the city of Madison for accessibility reasons. It's kind of central, but then we don't, we're a Dane County organization. We don't want to leave out all the great surrounding cities and villages and towns. So earlier this year, we've had two so far, one in Mount Horeb at the Grumpy Troll and one in Sun Prairie. And basically those events are, we get maybe 5 or 6 local stories, local people that have a sustainability story to share, and they rapid fire tell their stories in 2-3 minutes.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And most of the time it's just kind of connection and networking with the community.
That's very cool. And when I was looking on your website, I saw that you guys have a really big event coming up, your 14th annual summit this November. Could you talk about what's going to be going on during the event, where it is, how to get there?
Yeah, so students are also totally welcome to come to the summit. There's usually a group from the Office of Sustainability, mm-hmm. But obviously all students are welcome. And we do have scholarships available as well for students. So that will be this year at the Monona Terrace, and it is on November 3rd, and that's a Friday. It's a half-day event. It's a great time. It's all the things that I've been mentioning. So it's the connection with the community. You learn some, you celebrate some local leaders, and you hear a lot of different local sustainability stories. And so far this year, what's been announced, there will be a lot more planned, but what has been announced is our keynote speaker. Her name is Diamond Spratling, and she's the founder of Girl Plus Environment, which is a national nonprofit that aims to empower Black and brown girls, women, and non-binary folks to stand up for environmental justice in their own neighborhoods. And that's her words. So I'm just really excited to hear her perspective and hear about her work in environmental justice, because that's really, it's a topic that everyone's talking about, but it's hard to know how to take action on it, you know? It's hard to know how to get involved. So Diamond will be there, and it'll be an interactive session. It's not just a talk. It'll be kind of more workshop-y. You'll have an opportunity as an audience member to participate. And then there's a top secret thing that we haven't announced yet, but I'll tell you because I'm so excited about it. Local artist T.L. Luke. We are working with them to make an interactive art piece participants or attendees of the summit will get to participate in, and then we'll have this like cool finished piece of art at the end.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how that turns out. It's kind of a new concept for us.
What are you going to do with it once you're done?
I know, there's so many options. So we were thinking hang it up in our office. There's a big gray wall that I would love to have some art on. Or it would be super cool if we could like auction it off and then donate the funds somewhere, like something that relates to the theme of the day. But we'll see what we do.
That'll be so cool. I'm so excited about it now. So you were saying earlier that you're hoping to expand the compost system to other seasons. Do you have any other ideas or something in the works to expand what Sustain Dane is able to do?
Yeah, I think what I'm most excited about is connecting with these communities outside of just the city of Madison. So the All Around Dane County program is new. It was new last year, and it was pretty small. It was a baby program. And now it has expanded, and the two events that we had were so inspiring, and it was so nice to meet people that I don't normally get to see at our programs and talk with businesses that don't normally get access to these types of sustainability programs. So I'm really excited to work with them on their sustainability goals. And expand everywhere, no matter how small the village in Dane County, I would love to go out and talk sustainability with the folks that are interested.
That sounds so cool. So, you know, you've been getting out there in Dane County and talking to people. What is your opinion on how Dane County is faring in the three pillars of sustainability? So as a reminder for the listeners, the three pillars are a healthy environment, equitable society, and a just economy. How do you think Dane County is doing in those three areas?
Yeah, that's a tough question because my perspective is, like, at least definitely professionally, is kind of a climate optimist, I would say. I really like to focus on the solutions, and there are so many stories. Like, we have a storytelling initiative where we can tell individual or organizations, like, sustainability story. You know, it might be a project, like a composting project at an office, or it might be someone's personal rain garden that they made. And even with that program, plus all the other ones like the Dane County Office of Energy and Climate Change, they have a Climate Champions program, which does a similar thing. And there's no way we could even capture all the stories of solutions, climate solutions that are happening. And we're at an inflection point right now because there's all this federal money for businesses and individuals to take action in various areas of sustainability. So there will be federal money for home improvements, for EV purchases. So I'd say in general, my outlook is very positive.
That's good.
Yeah, because I get to hear all of the success stories all of the time. And I think as far as Sustain Dane's perspective on this goes, that's the story we should be telling. Like, we don't want to be like patting ourselves on the back for something that's not real, mm-hmm. you know. And it's good to know the facts, you know. That's what drives us. But there can only be so much. I call it doom and gloom, because that is just truly not motivating to focus on the problems, because everything has a solution, and we are definitely all there's many, many parts working together here in Dane County towards solutions. So
that was very well said. That's such a great outlook on it. I tend to sometimes get on the more pessimist side, you know, worry about where our environment's going, but it is uplifting to hear about all the positive things that are happening in our community and just like the so many amazing people who live here and are mm-hmm. passionate, like Sustain Dane, you know, doing all of this great work. So it's very encouraging to hear that there are people like you and your organization working on this.
Oh, thank you. I'd also like to add that sustainability, you know, it's a journey, mm-hmm. not an endpoint. I didn't come up with that, but
it's a good quote.
It's a journey. So we will never be satisfied, mm-hmm. you know? We're always trying to move forward. And we'll never get there to the perfect utopian society. But yeah, we are working on it. We're working at it.
So what do you think is the most efficient way to get there? I guess not necessarily to get there because you just said it's not an end point. But
well, I'd say it depends on who I'm talking to, because I talk about that a lot. But is it an individual? Is it a business? Where do they work in the business? You know, mm-hmm. like it really depends. But there's a lot of different research that is solutions based that helps drive my recommendations for folks. So one that I like to reference a lot that I bet you've learned about in school, because that's where I learned about it, is Project Drawdown. And they're different scenarios based on they're different solutions are ranked based on the IPCC reports. Mm-hmm. So there's like two scenarios that the IPCC, like two climate scenarios that they reported on. And that's all data driven. And then Project Drawdown takes those two and sees what is the most impactful actions you can take. And something that is interesting about that program is that they, in one of the scenarios, or actually in both of them, they identify plant-based, eating more plant-based meals as a key solution.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, and then there's other food-related and agriculture-related solutions in, like, the top five, I think, in both. And I love that, like, because everyone interacts with food every day. Mm-hmm. It's a very personal choice as well. Like, we don't judge, you know. We like to say flexitarian.
Yeah.
I'm personally a pescatarian, so I don't eat meat, and I do eat seafood, and you know, it's just because culturally I was raised eating a lot of fish fries.
Did you grow up in Wisconsin?
Yes, I
was
going
to say. When you said fish, I was like, maybe one of the coasts, but then you said fish fry.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's Wisconsin.
Yeah, so you know, you can make it work for you is what mm-hmm. I'm trying to say, and you can make it work for your culture and your life experience, and eating more plant-based food can be really beautiful. It doesn't have to be about restriction. Mm-hmm. I think it really, when I became a vegetarian a while ago, and then I became a pescatarian because I missed the fish so much, it really opened up a different world for me of food, you know, a really healthier but also like more fun world. Mm-hmm. It was really fun to learn how to cook for a vegetarian diet.
Yeah, I agree. I became vegetarian 5 years ago, maybe, and beforehand, I guess I was also living at home with my family, but we would have like chicken every single day for dinner, and I got so sick of it, and now I'm eating a way broader variety of food just because I cut out meat, and then I was introduced to a whole new world of plant foods. So
yeah.
I definitely agree. It's a great adventure to work through like vegetarian cooking.
Yeah. And there's still ways to eat meat more sustainably.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's such a big part of Wisconsinites' diet, so I like to point out that there are, yeah, there are tons of really cool, innovative farms that do, like, on a small scale, grow some animal meat that you can get and not have to worry as much about the climate impact or, like, the life of the animal, if mm-hmm. that is something that concerns you.
Yeah, it's a great way, because I know some people who are restricted by their diets and they have to eat meat because mm-hmm. they're, like, gluten-free or, you know, something like that. So that's a great thing to point out, is that you can eat meat sustainably. It doesn't have to be just plants.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very well said.
Thank you.
With your ties to UW-Madison as an alum and Dane County through Sustain Dane, how do you see the two very large, like, communities in this area working together and helping out one another?
Yeah, that is a great question. So I often hear from our community that they're looking for, you know, interns, mm-hmm. excited students that are interested in sustainability to maybe assist their green team with a project. I know Keno Mutual Group, one of our longtime members and very active in our community, they have an internship program that a lot of UW students end up in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so they could always use help and your energy while you're still in school. And then as far as the university and how I see maybe them getting involved with the county, the Dane County landfill is, you know, they have to move to a new site
mm-hmm.
and they're opening what's called the sustainability campus. The plan is not fully solidified yet, but from what I understand, it's going to really emphasize the circular economy and education on waste reduction. And I imagine that there's going to be opportunities for students to get involved there. I personally am going to try and get involved there. And they do have an event up coming if you want to learn about the sustainability campus and meet the people that work at the landfill. They're great people. It's a great team. And learn about that. And that's coming up next month.
Good to know. I'll have to keep an eye out for that.
Nice.
So as we're kind of like winding down, how can community members like get involved with Sustain Dane or support you?
Yeah, I would encourage you to go to our website and just explore a little, because we do a lot of different things, and find what aligns with your interests in sustainability. And then each page will have somebody you can reach out to, the person that manages that program. And if you just have a general question, you can email me at lorenza@sustainday.org. Yeah, come to our events. Don't be scared to come to mm-hmm. a networking event. I remember when I was a student, it's a little intimidating because you don't know, you know, it's all these, like, it's various ages of professionals, people, you know, really advanced in their career. There's retired people. But I will say this community is so, so supportive.
Good to know.
Yeah, and I've seen lots of students make connections, get internships, get jobs through engaging in the Sustain Dane community. So I'd encourage y'all to definitely come out.
I'll have to show up now, especially since I'm looking for jobs. So
nice. Yeah,
I'll have to network.
You should come by too. So I would say the summit would be our biggest networking opportunity in the fall.
Okay.
So yeah.
Good to know. And then, you know, as we close, do you have any final remarks you'd like to leave? Words of wisdom? Advice? Anything?
I would, yeah, just, you know, stay positive and enjoy your college experience while you're in school, because it really, really is special. Take advantage of all the great resources that this huge university has. And, yeah, and keep in touch with your professors, because I have a little bit, and it's always very rewarding to reconnect with them, so.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me.
Of course. That was Lorenza Sabel, Program Director of Sustain Dane. It was lovely getting to know her path to sustainability and learning about all the amazing work she is doing with Sustain Dane. If you are interested in learning more about the group, you can find them at sustaindane.org. Thank you for listening to the Sustain UW podcast.
Thanks to the Director of Sustainability at UW-Madison, Dr. Missy Nergard, and to the Director of Sustainability Education and Research, Professor Andrea Hicks. Thanks also to the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies and to Facilities Planning and Management for supporting this podcast. The making of these episodes requires a lot of behind-the-scenes work from the entire intern podcast team, and we are so grateful for their efforts. Until next time, continue thinking about how to best sustain UW.